your day on a right note with Glorious Morning. Every Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Only on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As we go into the final installment of this week's Controversial Perspective on Faith, we are looking at wrapping up the church and money discussion, right? Differing opinions is what we're going to be covering today in our study. When it comes to church finances, not everyone sings from the same hymnal, unfortunately, right? It's not the same songbook. From the frugal to the free spending, opinions on ethical stewardship and financial integrity can vary as widely as the Psalms. Now, today, we are exploring these differing perspectives to find out how churches can then strike a balance between being prudent and being extra generous. So join us as we discuss this. Pastor Bright Singozi is on the line to chat to us. Maruti, good morning and welcome once again.
Good morning, Derek, and good morning to our listener this morning. I pray all is well.
No, all is well. Mfundisi, we are doing okay. How are you?
Well, the Lord is keeping us. It's a bit windy here today.
Mm-hmm.
But we are mindful.
Amen and amen. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for that. Fudisa, thanks for being with us this whole week. Here we are in the final installment of our discussions. When you look at finances, what does ethical stewardship mean in the context of church finances, and why is it important? But who decides which stewardship to implement?
Yeah, it's a very intriguing discussion that we are having today.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical stewardship,
mm-hmm,
in the context of church finances is important. And I think to address why it is important,
mm-hmm,
by ethical stewardship in church finances, we are talking about the response or the responsibility and transparent management of resources. I think this is what we've been laboring to elaborate.
Yeah.
So by this, we are trying to ensure that what we are doing is aligning so well,
mm-hmm,
with biblical principles. And the church's mission, I think that's what tackled yesterday and the other day. So
yeah,
it is important in the following reasons. We are honoring God's provision, and then we are amplifying to say we trust God.
Okay.
So it becomes critical because it builds credibility and trust among members, also the community at large. Now, in as much as we would want to look at a congregation point of view, remember the Bible says we are the salt of the world, we are the light of the world. There are people who are watching us from a distance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what we are doing and how we are doing it has a positive or negative impact on their spiritual journey. And so when we build credibility and trust among our own members in the church, we will have also a trickle-down effect to those that are watching from a distance. Now,
mm-hmm,
imagine how mission becomes easy when an outsider is able to tell that there is credibility from our end,
mm-hmm,
and what we are doing, mm-hmm, we are doing viciously. So it has the potential of attracting those that are on the other side. But also, ethical stewardship supports what I would say effective ministry and outreach, the point that I was just trying to elaborate here.
Yeah.
But also, we reflect on Christian values of generosity, humanity, and integrity itself. So, stewardship, in essence, is how well do we manage resources that are not really ours, but on behalf of someone?
Mm, mm.
Now, Your generosity on the things that are not yours, but you are merely managing on behalf of somebody, becomes very critical in this context that we are discussing this morning. So to sum up my response to this question is that we have a responsibility that we are doing on behalf of God. Now, how we are doing it is going to give us an upper hand or a disadvantage depending on how well we apply ourselves using the resources that are not ours. Hence, we are stewards, managing on behalf of God.
And when you talk about that, Mfundisi, being this as stewards, how do we then deal with differing opinions on financial integrity at a decision-making level, you know, where the church is split? They would say, yes, you go with the majority, but sometimes when the decision is close, sometimes that doesn't help much. In fact, you can end up just splitting the church, even though you had a majority. But when the opposing side or the dissenting view was a majoritarily supported view, or has got a large number of people, it won't really help much, the fact that you had a majority or not, because the church is still kind of divided. How do you deal with that?
When we are teaching on family life, we love to emphasize and say that there is a Bemba proverb that we use here in Zambia.
Okay.
But let me paraphrase literal meaning. The trees that are together will always, there will always be friction. And so let's agree here to disagree that okay. provided we are coming from different backgrounds, we will always not agree on one thing. You have others that have a different opinion on how things are supposed to be, and others will have another opinion. I joined a church at a point where there was this great man, not that he was too much of an influencer like we see today, but the man would say, "You will not move in this direction because this is not how it was when we founded this church," you know. So you always wanted to have an opinion even when others are pulling in a different direction. But then how do we deal with the differing opinions on financial integrity, and of course the impact it will have on the church when it comes to decision making? Here is what I would want to submit this morning, that we as a church should create what I feel can be called tension and conflict management. I haven't done too much of conflict resolutions really as an area of study. But why I'm suggesting this is that differing opinions can create tension and conflict in the church, among leaders as well as members. So we need integrity as we handle the differing opinions. So we will have, in the end, have to create, you know, last time we talked about speciality.
Yeah.
There are people that have studied issues to do with conflict resolutions and all that. Put them in a subcommittee of some sort. You know, in smaller groups, we have disciplinary committees and all that. These people are going to help in addressing the church to understand that we'll always have different opinions, but our goal is to achieve something great.
Yeah.
But then the differing opinions will also have a serious potential of delaying or hindering decision making. So if we haven't dealt with them, it means we will be lagging behind all the time. I remember last time I said, when we are dealing with financial reports, the church is very attentive. The church members are very attentive. All they would want is to have a word, because it's resources we are talking about. And so we'll be sitting in meetings day in, day out because of different opinions, and then things are not moving. Where we are supposed to, today in Zambia, we are grappling with serious power. We have a power crisis, yes. I would say, in this country. And when we say we want to buy a genset, a standby generator, as a church, because it finances another person who pull in another direction, in the end, time is moving. And you know what will happen? We will run our churches without an alternative source of power. Now, has the potential to delay or hinder decision making. Another impact is that differing in opinions, will impact on our budget allocations and resource distribution. You want to move in this direction, another person say, let's move in this direction. And then because we are a house divided amongst itself, what happens? We are not even moving anywhere forward. Then it will, in the process, affect the church's reputation as well as credibility. I did emphasize on what others are seeing. They'll say, those people, they don't even agree on these issues. What are they going to tell us about the gospel when they actually don't agree among themselves?
Yeah. But
also, it gives us the challenge. It challenges the ability of the church to fulfill its mission. The church will always be dragging behind every other single day that comes. In the end, we are spending much time resolving our internal differences, and then we cannot even be relevant externally because we have a lot of homework to do within our congregations. And basically, I feel differing opinions will always be there. But how we handle them becomes critical. And that's why I am suggesting, how about a conflict and resolution subcommittee in our congregations to effectively deal with these issues?
And I think, Mfundisi, that is so, so key, because what can end up happening is we end up sweating the small stuff and we miss the bigger picture, right? I'm reminded some other church some years back had two differing projects that they wanted to run. The one side of the church wanted to have a family program, a retreat for the church just to build morale and so forth. And they wanted to direct money in that direction. And the other part wanted to have an evangelistic campaign. And obviously they are thinking now, no, but we've got the church's mission at heart. This is what we are built for evangelism. And then half the church was going in this direction. And at the end of the day, these two projects ended up splitting the church, where you then realize these are just programs, right? At the end of the day, these are just programs, and we are supposed to still be there.
It just needed to strike a balance from this what went wrong. Now, I will tell you this, that most of the times we have people that look at other issues as very unholy. The striking example that you have given here, there is another fuse. We can't waste resources on InReach. Let's go out there. But the same people that you are ignoring here are developing cracks that you fail to mend in the long run. So how about we rebuild ourselves first, and then we come as a united front that is going to go out there for evangelistic.
And
so I personally feel that when we begin to understand that this is important in as much as this other one is important, but from the two, which one weighs most? And then we are going to tell ourselves, at the level we are moving, we need to rebuild InReach. I'm chaplain for one of the singing groups here in Zambia, where at some point the group was disintegrating and other members were leaving and all that, because they could not agree on small, small issues. At the start of the year, we said, no. We cannot be going out singing in congregations when we ourselves are divided. Do you know what we did? From January to March, we concentrated on the group's spirituality. And we did not accept any invitation from any congregation to go and sing. We told ourselves, let us concentrate in-house. And you know, today is September, and I can tell you, when we started moving in April, we were a team that was together. Those members that have gone started coming back, and we are closing with a similar We are ending the day with a similar out in reach, where again we are coming back together and say, we are ending the year. We've been all over, but how have we fared in-house? So that we know our projection for the year 2025. And I think it helped us. Imagine if we were just excited about coming to South Africa. By the way, we had a trip that we were supposed to come to South Africa. But we said, no, we can't come now because we have an issue. But guess what? We've been to Tanzania. There's a trip pending to Malawi, another trip pending to Tanzania, another trip in Botswana. And it's the first time that we are moving internationally, because now we are a united team. So whoever hears information about an invitation pending, we quickly work together. I was talking to the secretary at SID asking about the invitation from Malawi. She said, no, we haven't received anything, but it is in process. They've already called and all that. You see, at the end of the day, because we prioritized ourselves as a singing group before we go out to others.
You became beneficial to the others. I think that's quite profound. Mfundisi, sadly, that's about all the time we have for this week. I'm going to then allow you to just maybe wrap up and sum up the whole lesson we've had this week, this controversial perspective, church and money, the governance side of things and so forth. What would be your closing remarks?
Tentatively, I would say, the issues of finances are very critical for the congregation. You and me know that it's not just at a congregational level, but it is also at a personal level. When I was doing counseling before my marriage some 10 years ago, the pastor who was counseling me, as me and my fiancée, then my wife now, told us that the issues of money have potential to divide both of you. But how you handle them, they'll help you. Here is what I want to suggest to the churches. It's not about the Adventist church, but any other denomination. To maintain unity and balance in the church, here is what we should do.
Okay.
Let us seek biblical guidance. Now, when I'm talking about biblical guidance, I'm saying God has already provided a way his resources should be expended. And if there is that guidance in the Bible, let us hold on to that judiciously. But also, let us foster open communication. If we are going to openly communicate amongst ourselves as a church, address the sticky issues, you will realize at the end of it all that we have managed to make everyone comfortable. Everyone is able to have a say, and then we reach at an agreement. And we say this is the direction we are all taking together. But also, we talked about the issues of transparency and accountability. So let us foster that. If we can prioritize that, then we will know at the end of the day that we are all moving in one direction. But also, it is okay to, encourage diverse perspectives. When one has put their input, another one their input, another one their input. In the end, we'll all be opened. You know, I'm discussing this this week, and I have realized that there are a number of things that I probably had closed myself to. After this discussion, what happens? I'm enlightened, and I'm going to now implement these things at a personal level, but also at the congregational level. This is going to help us. But here is what I want to say as my final point. Let us focus on shared values and mission objectives. I am saying shared because I know there are some that feel they are too holy than others, that what another person is saying is not important. You know what will happen? We'll always be saying, if I look at this one, we will never agree. I made a post on Facebook later last week, where I said, the moment you hurt somebody, even just seeing their photo anywhere or hearing the mention of their name, it will irritate you. Why? Because we don't believe in shared values. We want to have our voices being heard. But if we allow every other person to put in something into this, remember, we are a big team. What will happen? In the end, we all have a clear picture of what we want to achieve. there is a church, Derek, here in Lusaka.
Yeah.
It's called Lusaka Central Adventist Church. They've just shared with us their plan for the church. They really don't have land, but they've done a lot of groundwork. When we saw the plan of the church, it's in video form, and we are saying, now this is going to be a masterpiece in Zambia. And when I inquired personally what happened, they said, we sat, we differed. There were bruises all over. But what happened? When we finally come to a conclusion, we said, yes, this is a direction. And I have no doubt that when that church is erected, it will be indeed a masterpiece, as we have seen the plan. Why? Because they gave themselves time to argue, and finally they are able to agree. And I think what they are achieving is something great. And this is what I am praying for the churches in Zambia, the churches in Africa, the churches in the world to consider. And trust me, when we come united, remember Amos says, two people cannot walk together unless they are agreed. So we will pull in one direction when we reach a certain agreement, especially on issues of finances.
Certainly.
So these are shared resources, and so we need to share our knowledge of how to manage them.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Truly appreciate your time this week, and such a blessing you've given us. May God bless you, until we chat again next time.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. May God bless you and the entire team, together with the listeners.
Amen.
Amen.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.